And very good evening to everybody on Overtime. Here we are for the second part of Off the Hook, where you can call in. Everybody make it?
We're here.
We are.
Alex is gone. Where'd Alex go? Look at that. Empty chair. There it is. Okay.
I'm here.
Yeah, and Kyle's here as well. Cool. Yeah, I wish we had more time because there are so many things that, I like to talk about on the other part of the show, but boy, we get into these conversations, and they are important. They are important, and as you were pointing out, Alex, they do relate to our world. I know people are always eager to point out how we stray from the topic, but these things are relevant, and they matter in the world of technology. They matter as far as the hacker mindset, and just the way that you think through a problem, come up with a solution. It's all extremely relevant to that.
They're not trivial subjects either. There's really a lot of complexities to some of the discussions we end up covering.
Yeah, and COVID is pretty serious. So I'm glad to see our listeners are keeping up with the topic as well. So that's super important. But let's touch upon a couple of other subjects too that are happening out there. You know, Facebook and Instagram are going to let users hide their likes. Yeah, obviously that's a more important story. We should have led with that, but we just kind of ran out of time. But yeah, Facebook and Instagram, owned by the same people, by the way, and there are people who don't know that. Yeah, they're owned by the same people. They're giving all users the option to hide public likes on their posts, potentially upending a core dynamic of the social media platforms where like counts are seen as a sign of a person's influence. And I think it's all just a bunch of garbage. I don't use either one of those platforms. One of the reasons we don't use Instagram is because they won't let us use our name on Instagram. You know, the 2600, they don't allow it because it's all numbers. Yet they do allow other Instagram accounts to have all numbers. So I don't know what's going on with that. We don't have time to get involved in a fight with Instagram because we're already in fights with everybody else. But it's stupid. And plus, you know, everything that comes out of there seems to be self-promotion, and I just hate the word influencer. Anyway, the social media giant has, since 2019, been testing the ability for users to hide the counts of likes, which is a feature synonymous with Facebook, as a way to make Facebook and Instagram less stressful to use. Think about it. You know, if it's all about number of likes, I can't imagine going through school with the weight of an Instagram account strapped to me on top of everything else I had to deal with. You know, not getting the same amount of likes as somebody else, or getting all kinds of criticism or being ostracized online. It's a kind of hell that I never had to deal with, but I imagine kids today are basically crippled by it in many instances. So as of today, every user can now choose whether people can see the number of likes on his or her own post, and also whether to see how many people liked other users' posts. Facebook has been working to combat mounting criticisms that social media platforms can be harmful to the well-being of users and society. However, even with Wednesday's announcement, hiding likes on Facebook and Instagram will be optional rather than by default, making it unclear how many users will actually take this step. What we heard from Facebook said this, by the way. It doesn't even say a person said this. It just says Facebook said this. What we heard from people and experts was that not seeing like counts was beneficial for some and annoying to others, particularly because people use like counts to get a sense of what's trending or popular, so we're giving you the choice. If users opt out of sharing public like counts on their post, viewers will be able to see a list of who liked the post, but not the number of likes it got. The person who posted the photo will still be able to see the number of likes, even if it is not displayed publicly. Wait, I don't get that first part. If users opt out of sharing public like counts on their posts, viewers will be able to see a list of who liked it. Then they could just count that themselves, couldn't they? This is nothing. I just read nothing. They're not doing this at all. If you can still see whether zero people like something or a million people like something, yeah, it doesn't give you the number, but you can still tell pretty quickly, is this popular or not? This is just such a typical two-faced Facebook way of doing things. Go ahead, Alex.
The other thing, too, is that this misses the point in terms of
trying to avoid the popularity contest or the stress of popularity contest, especially for teenagers, students, young people that use Instagram, because this just removes one component of a post. It probably has nothing to do with how many quote-unquote followers you have, how many friends you have, all of which are other metrics by which people erroneously judge their lives, you know, and determine whether or not they have merits or value in their lives based on how many people follow them. And I think that's a larger part of the problem. This is treating a tiny symptom and not the disease itself.
I think there's also a lot more ads and confusion for users who might not be fully literate in the medium that they're working with, that they're looking at something that someone is getting something for in exchange for that promoted content. They have labels for some things, but I know there's a lot of variability in how it's presented. There's whole businesses that are on these platforms that represent themselves, which is great, and I think a lot of that is an offshoot of some of the commerce aspects that Facebook has really been pushing. But all of that's very much in the mix and related to the deluge of ads on these platforms. So what you end up with is people themselves that are seeking customers in those likes.
Yeah. By the way, who's got the fan on over there in Skype land? One of you's got a fan on. It's making a racket.
I think that may be us.
Okay, good.
I thought it was traffic or something.
You sound like you're in an airplane. That's better. That's much better. Thank you very much. Yeah, I know it's 90 degrees there. It's going to get a lot worse, but it's radio and it's supposed to be hot and comfortable.
Well, we have great sound quality. You're coming in clear. That's the takeaway there.
Yeah, and so how do you tell people it's not about popularity when these numbers are so pervasive? They're constantly reminding you how unpopular you are or how popular you are. Yeah, you see the same you see the same thing said by another person, almost literally with the same words, and somehow that becomes a trending topic. And you know, when someone else says it, nobody hears it and nobody cares. It's not good for anybody. I just don't see that as being healthy. You know, there's tremendous potential here as far as sharing experiences and news and emotions and things like that. But only if it's done on equal footing. When somebody right away is at a disadvantage because of who they are or where they rank on a certain scale, you know, and it just seems like it's designed for failure. Alex, did you have something?
Yeah, I agree with that entirely. And a lot of this has to do with the black boxes that propel most of these social media platforms, namely the content algorithms, the algorithms that feed us content, that feed us news, suggestions, and that ilk. And nobody really understands exactly how they operate. These aren't subject to any kind of community scrutiny. There's no transparency whatsoever. They're held as closely guarded trade secrets. And you're absolutely right. It amplifies voices seemingly for no reason other than the fact that they're popular. It's going to get to more people. It's going to activate more people. More eyeballs are going to be on the platform. More eyeballs on the platform mean more of an opportunity to sell advertisements to those eyeballs. So, you know, it's all about the dollar. It's all about the bottom line. And I'm hopeful that there will be some more algorithmic transparency about how these social media platforms operate, specifically because their algorithms were exploited and vulnerable for things like election interference, things like fomenting extremism. In fact, I happen to be writing an article on this very subject that will hopefully be out next week in the Financial Times. We'll see.
Okay. We're going to give out our phone number, 802-321-4225. I think what we'll do is we'll take a phone call, read a story, take another phone call, read another story, because we have a bunch of stories here, and that's a good way of sort of pacing it.
I'll try to keep up.
Yeah, try to keep up, Kyle. 802-321-HACK is our phone number. Try to keep it short. Try to keep it on point, and we'll see if we can get through a bunch of people. Always like to hear from our listeners. And again, you can write to us, OTH at 2600. com with whatever it is that you wish to say to us.
Yeah, should the Olympics be canceled?
You know, I have mixed feelings about that now. You know, a week ago I would have said yes, absolutely. But then I saw what they did with Eurovision. in Rotterdam. And boy, that was fun. They had, you know, and I did not know from watching it that they had a limited amount of people. It looked like they had a lot of people there, but they really only had 3,000. Not that many. They could do the same thing with the Olympics. If the athletes are tested and kept safe, you don't need the massive crowds of people because it's all about TV coverage anyway. It's something that might give a boost to just the world in general. A lot of money has already been paid for it, so you know Japan shouldn't have to lose all of that. If they can pull it off as far as keeping the athletes safe, then maybe focus on that and making it a TV production, not so much having tens of thousands of people in the stands. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about this because, on the other hand, thinking about sports events seems so trivial. But again, it does pick up people's moods.
And geopolitically, it could be really helpful and or informative to see how some of that plays out. And unifying, because the world has gone through this incredible experience, so to be able to emphasize that in a production would be stirring.
Okay. Hey, I think we have a phone call. Do we have a phone call, Kyle? Okay. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead. And please turn down your computer.
Yes, I just turned it down.
Sorry. Ah, good. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Happy Valley, Goose Bay, Labrador, Canada.
Oh, cool. Wow. Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
That's awesome.
You're in Labrador.
We just...
Yes.
We were in Labrador. Do you want to tell them what we did?
Well, I think we should.
You went to Shefferville there a while back, didn't
okay,
you?
Okay, you know about what we did. Yeah, we went to Shefferville, which meant we passed through Labrador, but actually Shefferville is in Quebec. But boy, do I want to go to Labrador. I want to go to Labrador City and Happy Valley, Goose Bay, whatever that is.
It's great to hear from somebody from Canada. We actually recently, we've been having a little reception issue, so we feel disconnected from Canada, but we want to travel again. Unfortunately, Americans can't do that, and vice versa, and it's all crazy. But how are you? How is it up there? Tell us.
It's great. We're not really being affected by the COVID. I guess because we're a bit isolated,
mm-hmm.
but it is in Newfoundland, which is just south of us. Basically, I live at a military base that was created during World War II, which is by the government, the Canadian government, and the American government. And I believe the American government still has a lease on the base up here. I love computers. I love your show. It's great. I've been listening to you guys for a while now.
Cool.
Can you still hear me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, you sound great.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I just love your show. I just wanted to call in, and I've been listening to you guys now for the last couple of years, and I really enjoy it. The way of the world is really crazy right now with all the chaos.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can all come out of it a little bit better.
So now,
yeah.
You're actually you're in the Labrador part of Newfoundland and Labrador.
Yes.
How does somebody get to where you are? Is there a road that goes there?
Well, if there is a road that goes here, where I think where you guys have come to Shefferville before there, there's a highway that goes from Lab City to Happy Valley Goose Bay.
Okay, that's the road that
I think
we passed.
Probably another 8 hours.
Uh-huh.
Driving?
Yeah.
Driving time, yeah.
I think we wanted to take trip, actually, because it's like it looks like a highway. The train passes it. And there's no cars or trucks or anything on it, but it definitely goes from Labrador City to somewhere else. Now, can you keep going past that and get on a boat and hit Newfoundland that way?
You can, but once you get to Happy Valley, like once you get to do that big trek of a drive, once you get to Happy Valley Goose Bay, you can actually, there's another highway, which is south, that it's kind of a rough road there, but and you just take that road south, and you'll eventually come to a ferry. And then you can take the ferry to Newfoundland.
Wow.
And go across.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the place is called St. Barb. It's actually a part of Quebec as well. So once you get down to the south coast of Labrador, you kind of have to drive into Quebec. And then there's a ferry right there that will take you right to Newfoundland.
We are going to do this.
Yeah.
We are going to do this as soon as we're able to cross borders again.
Logistically. And.
But it sounds amazing. You said you're on a military base?
Well, I live in a place called Happy Valley, and it's right next door to Goose Bay, which is the actual base, the military base that was built during, before World War II, basically, so the planes could be going back and forth. And there was also another one called Gander in Newfoundland.
Gander I'm familiar with. That's
around the same time.
Gander used to be where planes would land to refuel when they were going on cross-Atlantic trips.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Yeah. And then, geez, what else were we going to say there? Basically, that's what it was built here for. But I'm in a place called Happy Valley, which is just part of the town right next to Goose Bay.
Okay, I got to ask, how did it get the name Happy Valley?
I was just looking that up, actually. I'm not totally sure about the whole history of it. I was just looking at that online there just before I called, actually. And I was kind of briefly looking at it, but I don't know exactly why it's called Happy Valley off the top of my head.
Well, do people seem happy? Do people seem happy there?
I think, if I'm not correct, I think it might have been an indigenous Inuit lived in the area.
Okay.
And I guess we're known to be smiley, happy people, I guess. So I'm not really totally sure.
Do you know if it's Inuit? Do you know if it's Inuit or Inuk?
I'm Inuit. Actually, I am an Inuit, actually.
Oh, really? Wow, that's so awesome. This is an incredible coincidence because I've been going through some old material when I made a trip up to Iqaluit in the 1980s, and I was just listening to a Inuktitut broadcast on CBC North, and it's just incredible that you actually are part of that community.
Yes. Unfortunately, I do not speak the Inuktitut language. It's kind of been lost in this part of the Labrador. Mm-hmm. But along the coast, it's still quite strong.
What's amazing, what I heard only yesterday in one of the interviews I did, is that the Inuit language has dialects that vary from Greenland all the way to Alaska, but it's different than Indians who live further south who have completely different languages from tribe to tribe.
Yes, that's right.
I did not know that 48 hours ago, but I just learned that.
Yeah, it's quite bizarre. I mean, you have a whole group of people along the north, and I guess, like you said, each dialect has been a little bit different.
Wow. Please send us an email, because we definitely want to get in touch when we do make that trip at some point. It sounds like...
Well, definitely. Like I said, I was actually going to mention, if you guys do make it up this way, I mean, I have a cabin where you guys could actually stay, or we'll put you up.
Wow, we have to go in the winter now.
Not a problem.
Well, we have to go in the dead of winter. When how severe are the winters up there?
Oh, man.
Okay, that's enough.
You're
looking
at 40 below, 50, 60 below.
Oh, hell yeah. This is it. This will make me feel so much better, having lived through a year of this nonsense.
Well, also, we'll have to bring up some things we can get from the south too as a gift or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. That sounds like such a great opportunity. We are so excited to explore again, and we're so glad to hear you.
Yeah. I hear you, because I mean, with the way the world is, it's really unfortunate we've all been just trapped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trapped.
But you know, imagine what it would have been like. Imagine what it would have been like 20, 30 years ago when we didn't have these means of communication, how much more trapped we would feel.
Well, I think with the isolation, too, the big fear up in this part of the country is if the COVID were to get in here with nobody vaccinated, we would probably get the population wiped right out.
Yeah, well...
And, you know, that happened with the Spanish flu.
Uh-huh.
Back in the...
Which, by the way, was not Spanish. 1900s. It was not Spanish. It was only Spanish. They called it that because it was reported in the Spanish media.
That's
important to point that out. I feel compelled to do that. But, yeah, in Iqaluit, they had no cases until, I think, earlier this year, and then it was a real concern for the reasons that you state, because it could spread very fast.
Yeah, and I think, like, that was the big... Well, actually, a lot of the native indigenous population seemed to get the vaccinations out to us quite quickly, which is... really great.
Yeah.
Yeah, crucial. And but that blindsided without the testing and then visibility on it, and the contagiousness, it was incredibly scary, that uncertainty early on. So
have you had easy access to the vaccine?
Yes. I mean, most of my family got vaccinated. We did it right away. Like, no questions asked.
I think it was...
As soon as they had it out for us.
Right.
Actually, we went and got it done at a local church.
Oh, wow.
So the community kind of just went to the church and had it done.
I think it was, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was distributed to the communities, to the far-reaching parts of Canada before it was sent to the big metropolises. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, that's right. Like a place like Toronto, I'm not sure now, but they don't seem to be fully vaccinated yet. But they kind of went to these isolated areas, which is, it's really, I got to applaud the Canadian government for that.
Yeah, for the reasons you mentioned, it's smart because, again, it could wipe out entire communities if it was allowed to spread.
Yes.
It's an easy way to control it since there are far less people.
Yeah, definitely.
Now,
how can I get a hold of you? Like, do you want my email address?
Just
yours,
write to us, oth@2600.com, and we'll get it that way, and then we can stay in touch.
Sure.
Now, did you have something you wanted to mention other than living in Happy Valley? Was there another part of your call?
I mentioned on the show earlier tonight how things seem to be getting torn down and that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And, like with the military base, where a lot of the buildings, the Canadian government had kind of just demolished them, and I thought it was kind of unfortunate because I just thought it was kind of a historical thing. It was World War II history that they were kind of tearing down. And I think that's kind of unfortunate. Now those memories and that, it could be turned into a museum, and people could come there and flock there to see actual World War II history. And that's unfortunate that I find a lot of it's all just run down and kind of just going to the wayside now.
Well, an important thing is having that vision for it transforming and being able to communicate that. We've seen certain situations that don't take such a turn, or at least the right people see it, but they see for what it could be, not just the like you're saying, the run down nature, and they don't see possibility or anything worth investing in. But if you can communicate that too, you get a lot of people around stuff. I know that was really helpful out here. We have a Tesla Science and History Center that a lot of people were excited about, and has slowly been emerging as this really, really neat historical thing. So that sounds like a great project if you get a couple, interested people around.
Well, not if it's already been destroyed. Has it already been destroyed?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of buildings that have been just demolished.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't really know the reasoning behind it.
Oh, so nothing.
Wow! I just thought they were tearing down history, and it was kind of unfortunate.
So I wouldn't leave anything standing.
Well, hopefully they at least somebody has pictures or some kind of documentation.
Oh, I'm sure there's pictures, but it's definitely not the same once something is gone.
No, of course not. And especially there, I mean, what's the point? This is in Goose Bay, is it?
Yes, Goose Bay.
Yeah, are they going to replace it with something else? Is there a demand to not have this bit of history there?
Well, the airport is still being used quite a lot. I mean, I just seen a big C-5 transport planes come through here all the time from the United States. Like I said, the United States government still has a lease on it, so they're constantly, you'll see planes come through here going to Europe or wherever all the time.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
It's
emerging too. There's a lot of talk in the news about the strategic implications in the north with the melting and so forth, and opening up of new sea passages. So maybe it will be just reclaimed and reemerge as a base once again, but with a lot of new infrastructure. There's a little bit of that sentiment in the air too. So.
Hey, Rob, Alex Gila, do you have anything to say to our caller from Labrador?
Just thanks for calling. It's really cool to hear from you, and also hear what's going on. And like one strength of doing this stuff online is that people from far away can call us without having to be in our broadcast area so much. And yeah, it's good to hear from you.
What's amazing is that Labrador really isn't that far away. It's Quebec is next door, and Labrador is next door to that. So it's not like even going to Illinois, I don't think. It's closer than most people realize.
Yeah, it is. It's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful country. I mean, it's just nothing but trees and outdoors, which is a great thing.
What's
a big concrete jungle?
Yeah, well, have you ever been to a concrete jungle?
I've been to Toronto.
Okay.
I've been to New York City a long time ago now.
Uh-huh.
You're talking over 20-something years ago. But yeah, I mean, I do love New York City. I love the big metropolis, but I love the nature too.
What is the most impressive form of wildlife you have seen over there,
or even this season?
Oh wow, we've got black bears, moose, I just seen a northern pike there just the other day, because I like to do a lot of fishing as well. The fishing season now is starting to come around. Like, we still have snow still here, quite in the woods yet. So
you still have snow now in late May.
It's starting to disappear now.
In late May, you still have snow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
So the rivers are starting to run, or will be.
So now we've got to go there. We've got to go to Whitehorse. Okay, it's going to be great. We're just going to stay in the north.
Yeah, we have a bunch of stuff up north to take care of. So we'll definitely, we're plotting some road trips and some visits.
But we'll have to rent a car to do this.
I'm a big fan of your show. I've been listening to you now for quite a few years. I'm actually going back into the archives and checking out stuff from the 80s. Yeah, I mean, I have an old Atari ST. 1040 ST that I still use to this day, plus the newer, more recent models of computers. But I'm a big, big fan of your show.
Well, thank you.
Enjoy listening.
Thank you. It means a lot to us, and it's so good to hear from somebody from that remote part of the world that we always love to explore.
Yeah, thanks for reaching out.
If you're ever up this way, like I said, I've got a small cabin. If you're passing through, it's right on the main highway to Churchill Falls.
Wow.
You're welcome to stay there if you're coming through.
We'll let you know for sure. And keep listening and let us know if anything else happens up there. And stay warm.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, take care.
Take care, guys.
How do you like that? Call from Happy Valley. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
802-321-4225. 802-321-HACK is our telephone number. Anybody got the toll-free version of that?
Yes, that is 833-755-2600. If you're in the United States, you can call us toll free.
Well, what if you're in Canada? Does it work from Canada?
I don't know. If you're in Canada and you'd like to help us test this out,
we could just talk to somebody. All right. Well,
you can ask a caller to please call us.
This person is calling us on the toll free line, and I have a feeling this is the caller from last week that we were talking about their petition this week. Am I right? See, I can tell just by all the zeros that show up on the caller ID there. Hopefully your petition gets a whole lot of people. As you can hear from what we talked about, this is a concern. This is a concern. You're not alone.
I was distracted by something else going on in my background.
Mm-hmm.
When you were talking about it, did you give out the name of the link?
I sure did.
Oh, thank you.
I even said what letters are capitalized in case that makes a difference.
Okay, I do not know whether it does.
Yeah, I wasn't sure either. But
Thank you very much.
No, you're very welcome. But have there been any changes in the last week?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, you do have the right when somebody.
I have the right, but they don't acknowledge.
Uh huh.
The right.
Yeah. No, that's true. It's a contentious issue, but I think you bringing it up is going to help a lot of people because they may not realize that this is something that other people care about as well, and we all should care about this. It's your house, for God's sake. You know, you should have the right to say who you're comfortable with and who you're not comfortable with.
I have a different sort of update on it. It's not exactly the same thing, but I went to a physical therapy evaluation at a physical therapy place, and the building doesn't allow people to wear gloves because they don't want people with contaminated gloves touching the buttons of the elevators.
Wait, the building doesn't allow you to wear gloves because your gloves might contaminate the elevator buttons?
That's correct.
Got it.
Wow, they've been doing...
It's a medical building.
All right.
Don't figure.
I can't figure that one, because I thought gloves were supposed to help us prevent exactly that kind of thing from happening, but...
I think there's...
Yeah, well, I'm just telling you the facts. I can't explain their reasoning.
There's some COVID psychosis going on there. Somebody's just... crazy overcompensating.
Yeah, yeah. And it's easy to make fun of all the different rules and how they conflict with each other because, you know, a lot of people really haven't quite figured it out yet. And as, you know, in general, I don't think we figured it out. But there are certain things that you can say, yeah, this makes sense. This is factually correct. This is based in science. So we can't mix up the two. We can't mix up the two different things.
Well, I went to the physical therapy evaluation. And so the therapist was touching me without gloves and touching my hand, which I didn't have gloves on. She didn't have gloves on because the rule was no gloves. And I said, of course you're vaccinated. And she said, no, I'm not.
Wow.
And I was shocked and surprised.
Uh-huh.
I said, why not? And she said, I just haven't seen the point. Until now with the masks coming off, I will probably get vaccinated soon.
Yikes.
And I was, you know, as you know, I was dismayed by that. And I said, you're saying that your reason for getting vaccinated is to be able to take masks off? And she said, yes, I didn't see any other reason for that. And I said, well, not shocking and surprising, your patients might have been a reason to get vaccinated sooner.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you might want to sign up with a different therapist for your next appointments.
Wow. So putting it on you, as if you're the one with the problem. Well, now, she was at least wearing a mask. Tell me that.
She was wearing a mask, you know, not the KN95 type, but the blue and white.
Uh-huh.
Kind, and I wasn't sure, I was not at all sure that it was close against her skin.
Well, you had a mask on, and you've been...
It was filtering, maybe it wasn't.
You had a mask on, you've been vaccinated, so I don't want you to worry.
Oh, I had a KN95 on.
Right, but you're safe, so don't worry about that. But this, it's irresponsible, it really is. If nothing else, for show, you know, to put people at ease. That's what we saw in Manhattan, where so many people who were wearing masks, who technically didn't have to wear a mask, but because they cared about the people around them and wanted to make everyone else feel at ease, they kept it on. And why are people so crazy about wearing masks? It's such a minor thing.
Yeah, I heard one of the people on your show saying one of the things that they did now that things have loosened up a bit, is catch a cold.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Gina?
It wasn't the plan. It just sort of happened.
I know it wasn't planned, but that, you know, not wearing masks, that's the sort of thing that loosening things up promotes. So it's funny, but true.
Right. Well, we're free to get colds now within our immediate circle, so I'm happy to trade those germs.
You know, I don't like getting the cold.
Mm-hmm.
Or the flu.
Well, now you know. You can just wear a mask all the time, and you'll be protected against colds, too. But, you know, that's a choice.
Mm. Yeah, well, I believe in China, it's quite usual to wear masks.
Yes.
For that kind of reason.
In Asia in general.
You don't want to get one.
There's that, and also there's air pollution. People wear masks for different reasons. But, yeah, I've noticed that over the years. Alex, looks like you have something to say. Go ahead.
Well, I was just ruminating about this. I think, you know, now with masks off, you know, we're going to see the return of the common cold, and I think you heard it here first. I'm predicting syphilis is next.
Wow. You did hear it here first. I can guarantee that.
Absolutely.
I read some articles saying that now that people are coming out and meeting people, that that kind of sexually transmitted disease is expected to take off.
Well, maybe you heard it second.
Okay, so we're going to have plenty to talk about in the months and years ahead. Listen, we're happy we were able to share that information. We're going to keep updated and see if other people write in. Please keep us updated if your situation changes.
I shall.
All right.
Thank you very, very much.
You're very welcome, and please keep listening. And we are ready for another call, Kyle. Are you on Instagram?
Yes.
It looks like you're on Instagram. You got that dazed look in your face.
Yeah, no, I'm checking some things.
You got some likes the other day.
No, I didn't.
You thought you did. You thought you had a whole bunch of likes.
It was a whole lot.
It was one person who liked a lot of things, apparently.
This is spam.
But you were, like, walking on air.
It does that to you.
You were walking on air. You were so happy, and then...
I was going to sell all my possessions because I had reached nirvana.
Wow. So sad to see the dreams crushed. Okay, we have another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Yes. First of all, I'm a very long-time listener, both to your show and the station. I've never called in before because I'm rather shy, so I'm kind of nervous right now.
No, don't worry. We're all friends here.
I admire all of you. And, you know, I started listening around the time of the, before Kevin Mitnick, and I was part of those protests and championing his cause. You've always... one of the things I've admired so much about you is that you've always presented all sides of an issue and really went the extra mile towards doing that. I'm very dismayed because I just see one side of an issue being presented, and it's almost as though you're vilifying and disparaging anyone else who has a different viewpoint. And I'm just, I don't know how to say strongly enough to really implore you to have a credible person, scientist, a doctor, whomever, reporter, to present a different side of the COVID vaccine issue.
Well,
we are not all irresponsible kooks or anything like that.
I don't think we said that. I don't think we said irresponsible kooks. I think the worst that we said was misguided, misled. And as for having alternate viewpoint, all for alternate viewpoints, but they have to be founded in something. And, you know, we can't have people on who don't believe in gravity or who think the Earth is flat. Or, you know, this is something that has been proven over and over again through a variety of sources. And I think if we are constantly having both sides of every issue represented when it's already been established factually and scientifically, we're never going to get anywhere because we're going to constantly be debating the most basic of issues. And in this particular case, that issue is that the vaccine works, and that is something that is good for the vast majority of people. I'm not saying there are people that it doesn't work for, and that's why you should talk to your doctor, somebody who clearly understands both you and the medicine behind it. And if they say this is something you should not take, then listen to them, absolutely. But as far as the what's happening in the world, what's happening in our country, there is no scientific evidence to suggest in any way that the vaccine is harmful, or that it does not do exactly what it claims to do. And we are so fortunate to be able to tackle this horrible disease that has killed so many people over the past year. Now, Alex, I think you had something to say as well.
Let me just respond.
No, go ahead.
That.
Go ahead.
I totally agree with your sentiments about it's very serious, but there is credible evidence, not just from the 12 people that you mentioned last week, but there are literally thousands of doctors, scientists who are speaking out about this. They're being suppressed. They're being vilified. People with astounding reputations, even someone like Dr. Michael Yeadon, who was the vice president of Pfizer and one of their senior researchers, even he is coming out and saying these vaccines are dangerous. And also, a couple of weeks ago, somebody said that they weren't vaccines, and that person was kind of dismissed. Well, there's a reason why they're saying they're not vaccines. They do not impart any immunity. They are an experimental gene therapy. We have no idea what the long-term consequences of these, whatever you want to call them, will cause. And as of now, on the vaccine adverse reporting system that is run by the CDC, they've they've listed over 4,000 deaths and hundreds of thousands of serious injuries because and the CDC themselves, they just forgive me, I'm not comfortable talking on the air.
No, that's okay. Keep going. You're doing fine.
Okay, but they themselves estimate that that is only 10% of the actual adverse reactions. And people who've had adverse reactions, they've been dismissed. I can send you a video of three women. Two of them were nurses. One was a CNA, developed severe neurological problems because of it. Doctors won't even treat them. They tell them it's all in their head. These were pro-vaccine women. These were not people who they had legitimate careers in the health profession.
See, to me, though, it doesn't make sense that that somebody in the medical field would refuse to treat somebody because they disagreed with them on something. You know, if they have a medical condition, they obviously should acknowledge that. It should be taken seriously. You're saying that it's not simply because they're criticizing the vaccine?
No. People just don't. There's a suppression of what's going on. There are adverse effects, and there's something called the Great Barrington Declaration. This is about 60,000 doctors who are coming out and saying that there's a danger here. That we went too fast. These chemicals, or whatever you want to call them, did not have adequate testing behind them. And it took about 95% effectiveness. No, it's 95% relative efficacy, not absolute. I downloaded the actual Pfizer study from the CDC website. It is 1% or 0.07% absolute effectiveness. So people are risking their lives or serious injuries to something that has only a 1% effectiveness.
Okay, I don't see how that number possibly holds up. I mean, have you seen the death toll, how it has changed since the vaccine has been introduced? That's something that, I mean, you can't really dispute these numbers.
Yeah, intervention do you suggest in the face of the complications of COVID itself?
Yeah, COVID, I mean, do you believe COVID is a threat? I mean, do you believe the numbers of deaths that we have seen both in this country and throughout the world over the last year?
But it's not necessarily attributable to the vaccines. It could be natural immunity occurring. That always happens. If natural immunity didn't occur in nature, the human race would have been wiped out.
Well, yeah, but the natural immunity, are you saying it just started occurring now, coincidentally, when the vaccines started to be distributed?
It started before then.
Not significantly. I mean, the numbers took a nosedive. You know, it's cause and effect.
Well, also, there are other factors as well. Mm-hmm. Someone mentioned before that hydroxychloroquine, it does not, there's no evidence for it being effective against COVID. That's not true. There are 144 published double-blind procedure controlled randomized studies in the medical journal showing that it is effective, and it's not harmful. It was harmful because they gave it to people with 2,400 milligrams instead of 200 milligrams, which is the proper dosage, twice a week, as opposed to 2,400 milligrams a day. No wonder it was killing people. There are nine medications that have been proven in the medical journals to be effective against COVID. The doctors who were using them were being persecuted. One of them is Dr. Pierre Torre, who has worked with more COVID patients than most doctors in the country have.
I'm just going to let Rob jump in. I know he wants to say something. Go ahead, Rob.
I just wanted to address one comment the caller made, which is vaccines are not gene therapy. Gene therapy is a very specific thing that is meant to interact with your actual DNA, which is stored in the nucleus of your cells. The vaccines are based on mRNA, which is messenger RNA, and that's something completely different from DNA. It does not enter the nucleus of your cells. It does not interact with your personal genetic code. What it does is teach the cells how to build a certain protein that itself can protect you from the vaccine. Gene therapy is not a vaccine. Vaccines are not gene therapy. They are two completely different medical concepts, and it's a persistent piece of misinformation out there to confuse the two, but it is misinformation.
Well, no, I totally agree that they're not gene therapy is not a vaccine.
And the COVID vaccines themselves are not gene therapy. It's nothing to do with it.
I agree.
Okay, we reached agreement on something at least.
Okay, but what I'm saying, one of the people you mentioned last week was Dr. Tenpenny. She has offered to debate any doctor in the world who wants to refute her analysis. They won't debate her. And I've
Well, probably because they're busy, but I'm sure that there are plenty of doctors who will debate her if that's what it takes to convince other people.
They have plenty of time to destroy people's reputations and disparage them, but they don't have any time. And I've never seen, I've been researching this for months, I have never seen anyone come and say to a doctor or a researcher they disagree with, okay, this is why I disagree with you, and do their own presentation. No, they don't do that. They just disparage the person. People have been fired from jobs. Dr. Pierre Corey lost his position.
Well, I've seen people do this on the various news networks where they bring up their points and they address them issue by issue. So that does happen. It may not happen in what you're describing, but certainly these points have been debated and I think refuted, but that's, I guess, a matter of opinion as far as this goes. Let me just ask you, because we do have to move on, if in fact this vaccine is not effective, what is the game plan? Why is everybody saying it is if it isn't?
Not everybody is saying it is.
Well, okay, but the people you're talking about, the people in the medical field, the media, people like us.
Who owns the media? How much advertising comes from the pharmaceutical companies?
So you think it's a pharmaceutical company plot to do this?
Well, I'm not going to say plot, but I'm just dealing in facts here. Okay, is it that? The media is owned by the pharmaceutical companies. Do you think that they're really going to present?
Well, we're not. We're not owned by them.
I don't understand why you're not at least presenting another. So have you ever had any expert on your show to discuss this matter? Why don't you have Robert Kennedy Jr. on?
Expert that says the things that you say. But if we were to get an expert, odds are it would be an expert that refutes all of these issues that you bring up, because most experts do. The vast majority.
Why don't you have a debate? Why don't you have one expert with...
Just because somebody disagrees does not mean they're on equal footing. You see, that's a problem that we see on so many different discussions. And this position, all due respect, is nonsense. It has been disproven so many times. I applaud you for coming on and for presenting your case. It takes courage to do that, but I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced. And feel free to try and convince as many experts as possible. I don't think it's going to work.
It's the experts themselves. I sent you guys a 10-page. Email with replete with all kinds of links to highly credible sources, all orthodox doctors, scientists.
Yeah, but pages and links, that's not the argument, okay? The argument is that's the facts, that's the science, it's the medicine, and that's where it's falling short.
Not everything is backed up by science.
Well,
I don't know why you won't take a look at it. I've sent it twice. I can send it again.
That's not necessary. Listen, thank you for your call, seriously. And Well, we're going to keep saying what we say, and no doubt you'll keep saying what you say as well. But, boy, Alex, did you have something you wanted to contribute? I'm sorry, the caller's gone, but go ahead.
Sure, yeah, and I want to...
It took guts to do that. I just wanted to make sure that that's understood, that just to stand up to everybody disagreeing with you, I respect that. But, boy, I feel bad that people are being misled into thinking that getting a vaccine is somehow a bad thing. It has been studied by scientists, by the medical profession, and it's a global effort. It's a global effort. There is nothing that you cannot point to or that you can point to that can't be refuted through quote-unquote evidence and a list of people, supposed experts. Like I said, the theory of gravity, the theory of evolution, all of that can be debated forever. But we're not here to have constant debates that never end. We have to, at some point, agree on the facts and move forward and start implementing things that improve our lives. Alex, let's finish what you were saying.
Sure, yeah. Look, I want to make it clear. I disagree with these specific facts that the caller had raised, but I do tend to agree in with some of her principles, though, in that I think she's probably right, you know, in that we're a bit harsh, I think, on people who have made the choice not to get vaccinated. I think our criticism is always tempered.
But now 600,000 dead people in our country alone, that kind of makes me a little short-tempered.
I'm not counting that at all. But what I am saying, though, is that it's still a choice in this country whether or not to be vaccinated. I think some people make the rational choice not to get vaccinated for the reasons that we mentioned earlier in this show, like religious reasons. There may be disability reasons. There may be you may have other health consequences of having the vaccine, some kind of allergic reaction or something that would prevent you from having it. And all of these can develop. You combine that with the fact that if you look at the history of vaccines in this country, it's pretty brutal and pretty horrible. And a lot of really terrible things.
Absolutely, yes.
In the name of vaccinations for the public good. And that's a history that we just certainly can't ignore. We have to wrangle with that. But those are all circumstantial issues. Those are all on the periphery. What's at the heart here are the specific facts, I think, that the caller mentioned, that you mentioned, Emmanuel, can all be refuted by science, by medicine, by other facts. And I entirely agree with the position that we're taking here, which is that not everybody who disagrees is on equal footing with something that is an uncontroverted, incontestable fact. I don't think that history will prove us wrong on that, but I do think that the caller's courage in calling for the first time after being a longtime listener and bringing up such a polemical topic is to be applauded.
Yes.
Because we're to have these discussions. That's what WBAI is about and what this show is about. And I think what she mentioned about you, Emmanuel, is that you present to all sides here. We can seem a bit harsh, but yeah, you're right. 600,000 people dead. How else would you explain the dramatic decrease in deaths after the vaccine?
Well, I asked that very question, and you notice there was an answer for that. Every bit of fact that you bring up, there's an answer for that will make your facts wrong. And, you know, we can't do this every time we have a discussion. Sure, let's do it once and go over the various points and why we feel the way we feel. But if you want to get anywhere, if you want to accomplish anything, you've got to actually reach conclusions and start acting on those conclusions. That's how science works, and that's, you know, how we are progressing. And we are progressing. But walking around now in the city without masks and going to the places we used to go to, the ones that survived, that's not just a coincidence. That's not because all of a sudden people built up immunities. No, it's because of the science that, thank God, we had so many people, more people than ever before, and that's why it happened faster, to battle this thing and get us where we're getting. And it's not to say everything is perfect. It's not to say that there won't be some hiccups. I expect that. But look at the incontrovertible fact of the coronavirus and what that is doing. Look what it's doing right now in India, okay? I mean, how do you explain that? They do not have enough vaccines right now. period. If they did, this would not be happening, period. I lose patience having to argue that point over and over again. There's certain things we just have to accept and treat as fact, because they are facts.
We have discussed it quite a bit, and we had the call, of course, so the side has been presented, if anyone was confused about that. But the more and the longer we pretend that it is a debate, the more damage it does directly. And that may have been entertaining in the intervening year when a vaccine was being developed and tested,
mm-hmm.
but now is not an okay time to entertain more disinformation and doubt that could basically put people who would otherwise be interested in inoculating themselves, put them at risk, because then they maybe think, oh, well, this isn't really what it is, or it's only 1% effective. This is a bad time for that.
Mm.
You can't be telling people that. We need to instill some confidence. People need to understand that this has been thought through, that people of goodwill put a lot of their energy into coming up with something that would help humanity.
Yeah.
And I just find that incredibly offensive, the arrogance of this perspective demanding more, yet more time to sow this. And in an instance where they've been told over and over again, if your preference, if your wish is not to participate, don't.
Yeah.
It may come with some consequences, but you're more than, you have an open invitation to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But the minute you start, I'm sorry, when you begin to create an environment that is unsafe after we've been through lockdowns and you've had upsets over job loss and terrible strife to our communities and economies and morale, to come in and think your experts should have more platform than they've already had. I'm spitting offended by that. I'm sorry. I have nothing else to say.
The other thing is, think of the people over the last year that were mocking the precautions, and I refer specifically to the former president. These are the people that you're aligning yourselves with. And saying, yeah, what they were saying was right. Even though they took care of themselves pretty quickly, they got the vaccines, they kept it quiet, but they did, because they know they're talking crap. But it's not hard to get people to think this is some kind of a political issue or something that it's one side versus another, or pharmaceutical plot. Look, I'm not happy that I got Pfizer to jab me twice in the arm. I'm not. I'm not a big fan of theirs. But I do have to recognize that sometimes drug companies make drugs that do what they're supposed to do. I think we all take drugs at one point or another, for one thing or another. And at least some of the time, the drugs do what they're supposed to do. And that's not an endorsement of the company that made it. It's just the way the system is set up right now. Okay. Anyone else have anything to add to this? Alex, looks like you've got something you want to share.
Yeah, indeed. I think that we should have more callers, more courageous callers like that, bringing up the most contentious issues of the day. I think it's fantastic. I welcome the debate. And
Alex, I don't want to debate. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I will admit that I am not the person to come up with all the facts, but the people who are, they should be listened to. The Faucis of the world, they know what they're talking about. And if you're going to tear him down and say he's part of some kind of international conspiracy, my God, what exactly is it that you do want? It's never going to end. When you find yourself just tearing apart the people who are the experts well, then you don't want to debate the experts, do you? You just want your side to be heard and everybody else to be shut down. And I'm sorry, I can't accept that.
Look, you got to think about this from the perspective of the people who hold these views as well, which is that they are in the minority. Their voices are being repressed, possibly unfairly. We've given this caller, this woman, I think, a fair shake, an opportunity to present her voice. She did so in a really courageous manner. And I, like I said earlier, I think that should be applauded. I certainly don't want to debate the same issue again, but I welcome callers to bring us the most difficult issues of the day, whatever they are. Hopefully they're not about the vaccine in a few months. But, you know, look, this is what we're here for. Is to have these types of debates, to bring up the hard issues, to talk about things that people don't otherwise want to talk about in the so-called mainstream media. I think it's great that she called. I do. I disagree entirely with all of the facts that she had presented, but I think we need to encourage that kind of courage.
Well, okay, fine, but I don't want to be having this conversation every single week, okay, because it's going to get old awfully fast.
Have the conversation
on a variety of platforms, sure, go ahead, knock yourself out. But, you know, we're a hacker show. We're trying to just focus on certain things and explain conclusions and logic and that kind of thing. And we're always open to being proven wrong, but not incessantly trying to make the same points over and over again, because that's what this will turn into. Rob, go ahead.
And that's the thing, is, like, I love being proven wrong. I feel like a lot of people who hold these views, there's sort of the sunken cost fallacy, where even if presented with information that begins to make sense to them, there is that human ego tendency to go, well, no, because if I admit I'm wrong now, that means I was wrong for all that time, and, you know, then I'm an idiot.
Right.
But I always love being proven wrong, because when that happens, that means I get to discard something that was incorrect and move on enlightened with some more knowledge, some additional knowledge, and, you know, grow from there. And, you know, it's really a great thing when it happens. It is a privilege to learn. And what ultimately I think it's what any of us are here on this planet to do, is to learn and to grow. And, you know, it is okay to have been wrong about something if you're moving forward and growing from that.
It's just, you know, there are so many examples that we can point to over the past however many years where a point is made, it's refuted, it's proven to be wrong, and that's never enough. Like, for instance, Obama's birth certificate. Okay, you remember that? For the most ridiculous thing ever, and finally presented, which I think was a mistake. But no, for whatever reason, that's not good enough, because something else is being hidden now. And time again, Trump's tax returns, just all these issues that you want to make a particular stand about, but the other side tells you, no, that's invalid because of this reason, and it just never ends. It never comes that point where one side says, I see what you're saying. I get the point now. I'm convinced. You won me over. That doesn't happen anymore, and that's a real tragedy. Gila, go ahead.
It won't happen. And I'm, by the way, I'm with Kyle. I know I've been pretty quiet so far, but I am with Kyle. I was stunned, speechless by what it takes to keep pushing that same argument. It is frustrating. But I think there's also been something of a shift in the discourse in maybe the last 15 years, that if you say it more often and you say it more loudly, you're saying it correctly. It's the Real Housewives reunion effect, where if you just keep repeating your version of events more and more loudly and more frequently, eventually you win. And I've been frustrated by what that's done to the national discourse, to world health in general now. And, yeah, totally with you, Kyle, 100%.
Well, yeah, it's like it repeats and repeats. You're like, okay, this is – it's like a spam email. You're like, oh, this is spam. Like, oh, this is psychological – you know, this is psyops.
If you reply to the spam, they'll go away.
This is corrosive. This is meant – it's having the effect it was meant to have, which is to damage and destroy faith and trust in one another and in humanity and your community, national solidarity, whatever it is. It's having the effect, because nowhere is it getting anywhere – you know, coming to a conclusion.
Well,
like,
do you think
like
that's
he said.
Do you think that's the desire of the person making the argument, or is that something they just get swept up in?
The latter.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. It's like, okay, I'm seeing a pattern here. It's like it's not ending. They're just
so how does
just
somebody
following the rabbit hole?
How does somebody get swept up in that? And could that happen to us? Everyone thinks they're immune from it, but being swept up in some kind of mass argument for one side or another, how do you realize that your side isn't making sense? How does that ever happen?
When the Pfizer checks stop coming.
Guys, we're going to have to wrap this up because we've gone well over an hour on this, and I didn't mean for it to be so COVID-related. Look, I think we're in better shape now than we were even a month ago. I think we're heading in the right direction. I think we got a long way to go, and I think there's still plenty of opportunities for us to screw up and go right back to where we were. But we need people to think independently, but logically, and to understand that science, medicine, these things, these are good things. And yeah, question all you want to, but understand the facts. Accept the facts when they become apparent. Don't have the conclusion ready before you ask the questions. You know? We're all in this together. And I think we all want the same thing. I don't know, though. it's becoming hard to know for sure, especially with some of the political agendas that I see today. Any closing thoughts, folks, before we stagger out of here?
I got one thing.
Go ahead.
And I'm thinking about this more. I've been looking through some old correspondence, and I found a discussion I had a long time ago, and someone said, look, do you want to be right? Or do you want to be smart? You have to make the decision. Do you want to be right or do you want to be smart? And I think that sometimes we need to take that into account, that maybe being right isn't always... I'm not 100% sure what the thought I was going with was, but... sorry, it just popped into my head. But
be open to being wrong.
Right.
Yes. Absolutely.
And being right doesn't mean that you are right. In your head, you think you're right.
It's a certain stubbornness. No, totally. It's...
Right. Right. Alex, yes.
Yeah, I think, Gila's sentiment is right on in that sense, right? And that sometimes, you can be seen as right, but not necessarily, that may not make you look this smart, it may not look like the smartest person in the world, right? Because of what Rob had mentioned earlier, right? This is you were taking contrary positions for a long period of time. Changing your mind is okay, but also, to Gila's point, I think, being right and being smart are not mutually exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
You can have both at the same time, and you can have been not right in the past and still be right now, and still be smart. It's okay to change your mind.
And things can change. There is no question. Things can change. Facts can change. They have. Remember, at first, we thought wearing masks wasn't the right thing. Then they were the right thing. As we learn, things are going to change. Doesn't mean the people are incompetent who are reaching these conclusions. It means that this is new territory for so many of us. And unless you really have evidence of some insidious plot that somehow is worldwide and affects millions and millions of people, let's assume that we want the same thing, that we are trying to get through this, and I can't imagine why we wouldn't be and why we try to make things worse. Okay, I'm talked out, and if people want to reach us, they can write to us, OTH at 2600.com. No doubt our mailbox is already full of angry emails. Send us some nice emails. Boy, that call from Labrador was nice. Seems so long ago. Okay, we will be back next week, hopefully. And stay safe, stay healthy. For God's sake, people, get vaccinated if you have not already. Good night.